When the nights turn as cold as they have lately, and when the calendar tells us it's fall, which it was officially yesterday morning, we tend to stop thinking about summer activities, and gardening can be among those, but it needn't be. There are lots of things we can be doing in the garden in the autumn, including getting new things out of it. Parts of our varied region enjoy very long growing seasons, and lots of people know how to take advantage of the situation, including Christy Mackison, who is with Shooting Star Nursery in Central Point and our guest in the studio today. Christy, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thanks for having me.
Well, the non-gardeners may be saying already, you can plant in the fall?
Oh, for sure. Way better than the summer. You know, the summer is actually fairly extreme time to plant. It does seem like a good time to be outside, but very stressful on the plants and the gardeners. So fall is the perfect time to plant. Almost everything possible. Obviously not your annuals and things that are cold sensitive, but great time to start your veggie garden over with greens like spinaches and kales. Like the cooler weather, they're going to perform a lot better without the stress of summer heat. A lot less bugs often by the time you get to cooler fall weather. And then a lot of ornamental plants are going to do a lot better in the fall, especially if you get natives in, drought-tolerant plants, and then especially trees, because they start to go dormant in the fall. It's less stressful to move a big tree in the colder weather than the heat of the summer, and you still get some good root growth in the fall. And so you have that much more head start before the following summer hits.
Shows how much of a gardener I am. I never even stopped to think about the fact that the summer heat is going to hammer plants just as much as it is the people have to work with.
Oh, for sure. And so that's why we're so dependent on irrigation systems here. You know, you wouldn't even think about planting without a proper irrigation system, ideally a drip irrigation system, because if you miss a watering, you know, there's no room for error in the summer. In the fall, it's that much less stressful on the gardener because there is a little more room for error. If you miss a watering, at least the weather's cooler. Hopefully we start getting some rain soon, and that helps you, you know, again, not have to be as dependent on your watering system.
So when we were talking about greens in particular, spinach and kale, and I guess some lettuces and stuff in that crop as well. We're talking about harvesting still this year?
Yeah, for sure. So we're getting about to the point where you need to get those things in now. I wouldn't start them from seed. I would get veggie starts, you know, from the farmer's market or from your local nursery. Get those starts in the ground now because we have a little window of time for them to start growing, and you can harvest them probably at a smaller size than they would be full on in the summer, but you can get your baby spinach, you know, pluck those. And then a lot of them will hang out all winter. A lot of kale will winter over, and you have that head start. It'll take off again in the spring when we start to warm up again.
Really? So it'll just kind of hang out there in the ground and you'll be able to harvest it next year?
Yes, a lot of the kales and collard greens, if we have a mild enough winter, you know, they'll, like I said, they'll kind of hang on, go dormant a little bit. Or you could put plastic, you know, a hoop over it in plastic and harvest throughout the fall and winter.
So are they just really resistant to, I mean, if you got a hard freeze, that would probably do them in, or would it?
You know, a hard freeze will do in your basil and, you know, your tender plants, but kale can take a light frost, even into a heavier frost, if they have enough of a head start. So that's why you want to get them in pronto.
Okay. So this is the time. I mean, if you haven't done it already, are you kind of in a hurry-up mode by
now? You're in a hurry-up mode on the veggie garden. So you want to get your greens in now so they can get, you know, a good head start before October cold temperatures come. But for ornamentals, you know, you can easily plant deep into October, even November, December, for trees and things that have gone fully dormant.
Mm-hmm. Well, give us an example of some ornamentals that people might be planting this time.
So, you know, almost any of your shrubs and perennials you could plant now, as well as trees. The only thing I'd be cautious about is maybe some things that are a little on the edge of cold hardiness. You know, you might want to plant those in the spring so they don't have to get through possibly an extreme winter. But any of your shade trees would be good to get going now or into October. You know, your flowering trees like flowering cherries, shade trees like maples. And then again, a lot of the natives are great to get in now because they're used to winter wet and summer dry. And so if you can get them in now, getting that head start, they'll have a good root system for that first summer they have to go through.
Are there any things that you particularly would not want to put in the ground in the fall simply because they're not that good with the cooler temperatures?
Yeah, I mean, there's some annuals you can do in the fall, like the ornamental kales and pansies and things like that. They can take the cooler temperatures. I wouldn't do things, again, that are on the edge of hardiness, you know, that maybe are only hardy to 25 degrees. I wouldn't do those now because we don't know what kind of winter we're going to get, what they're going to have to go through. But, you know, most of the things, especially the things we focus on at our nursery, are going to be cold hardy for this area. So you'll be fine with most things that you would call a zone 8 or zone 7 plant.
Zone 8 or zone 7, meaning mm-hmm. The kind of climate zone they're
in? Yeah, the USDA hardiness zone mm-hmm. is what those are. And so we're a zone 8, but I'd say a lot of microclimates in our region verge more on zone 7. And so those are things that are going to be hardy to 0 to 10 degrees. And so everyone probably remembers that single digit winter we had a couple winters ago where there was some damage, especially in your broadleaf evergreens.
Oh, was this the snow followed by the hard freeze?
Just where it got, you know, we got down to, I think we got down to 1 degree wow. for at least one night. And so that's your cutting off line when we get below 10. There's a lot of things that can't take that.
Christy Mackison is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about fall gardening. She is with Shooting Star Nursery in Central Point. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange. Questions about what to do with your garden in the fall, and it sounds like activity can actually pick up rather than reduce because we're entering the so-called end of the growing season, but a lot more to it than that. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Now, I was curious about the zones because first of all, just even trying to serve the Rogue Valley with the different elevations and the different microclimates, are there some things that you have to have in different sections? Like, well, if you live above 3,000 feet, this is okay. And
yeah, for sure. That's what's very interesting about this area, and we get that a lot. We ask when people come into the nursery, where do you live? Right, what elevation are you at? You definitely need to know your microclimate, because I'd say at the valley floor, you're in more danger of extreme cold temperatures than if you are at elevation, actually, because warm air will rise. And so you can get away with some plants that you can't at the lower elevation. So high elevation doesn't always mean, you know, snow and mountainous conditions. So again, it sort of depends where you are. There's different, you know, different areas of the Rogue Valley get more rain in, you know, only half an hour away from each other. So knowing where you're from definitely helps.
I was struck by some of the differences. I looked at the Farmer's Almanac online to see the differences in growing seasons. So, for example, Eureka has a 323-day growing season.
Oh, wow.
And we broadcast into Eureka. Their last frost is on January 27th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Their first for the season is on December 16th. But then you look at inland, Sacramento, 297 days. The frosts are different, but Pendleton, once you start getting east of the mountains in Oregon, for example, much shorter season, 187 days, and could be frosty as late as middle of April, which I think probably corresponds with the Klamath Basin as well.
Yeah, for sure. And so, yeah, we're more well-versed with the Rogue Valley climate, so we often say the last chance for frost is around Mother's Day, which sounds late, but we could potentially get a frost around Mother's Day, mid-May. I'd say usually we're in danger of getting frost, you know, for fall as soon as October, sometimes early October, usually more mid-October. So again, I wouldn't worry about planting things in the fall, though, and being afraid of the frost, because most things are starting to go dormant. And so they can take a frost, no problem. And in the end, the plant would rather be in the ground than sitting in a pot above the ground if we did have a cold spell. You're getting root growth in the soil. The soil's warmer than the air temperature, so you're going to get some root growth if you actually end up planting something in the fall.
Oh, so the temperature in the pot could actually be that much less in the soil?
Yes.
In the pot?
So, yeah. You know, when things are up out of the ground, those roots are exposed to the colder temperatures. The roots are going to be more protected if the plant is planted in the ground. So that's something to keep in mind. If you have a lot of, say, leftover plants that you purchased in the spring or summer and they've been sitting around waiting for a home, get them in the ground now, because that's going to help them survive the winter, having their roots protected in the ground.
Spinach, I'm curious about this. Did it need to go in a couple of weeks ago if we wanted to get a good crop?
I just planted my spinach this week, so we're going to cross our fingers and hope we have, you know, enough mild enough temperatures that they can get a good head start. Again, they're not going to be maybe full size in a month, but I like the baby spinach myself. So you can just start, you know, plucking some leaves off, not harvest the whole thing, and you'll always have a few coming on throughout the fall.
Mm-hmm. And then at what point will you not see any more activity coming out of spinach in the ground?
Just depending how soon our extreme cold temperatures kick in. You know, we've already gotten into the 40s mm-hmm. in the evening. So it sort of depends when we start getting to those more frozen closer to 30 temperatures. But again, I've seen greens easily go into mid-October. Sometimes our extreme temperatures don't come to Halloween. So you could have a really nice fall garden all through October.
I've talked to some people who have carrots and things that are deeper in the ground, and they talk about pulling them out of the ground all through the winter. Is that
you can, right? If you had your carrots, you know, planted earlier, so if you did a summer seeding, they've been growing all summer, and right, you can just sort of slowly pick them out of the ground throughout the fall and even winter. But you would have had to start that in the spring or summer so that they're more or less full grown right now. So yeah, root vegetables carry over really well through the fall and winter.
Give us a sense of some of the do's. We'll get to the do's and don'ts. We'll start with the do's about the things you do want to do in a fall garden.
You want to make sure that you have a good layer of mulch, that you're prepared for winter and winter rains, because that will wash a lot of mulch away, and the mulch can help keep in moisture. You know, whatever moisture we do get can help keep the roots warmer. So you don't want any roots being exposed through the winter. So you want to make sure you have a good mulch plan, either, you know, buying bagged mulch or bulk mulch. Make sure your garden is well mulched. Again, just thinking about what you want to add in the garden, because this is really the perfect time to plant. You just don't have the extreme weather of the summer. Sometimes spring can be a bit too wet to get into the ground even. So now we're just right on the cusp of a perfect digging time. Now's a good time to visit nurseries and see what's still blooming, maybe what the trees still look like with leaves on them. See what fall color you like. You're going to get a sense of what the fall colors are. Ornamental grasses do very well in the fall and give you a lot of interest for fall. A lot of people might think their fall gardens, you know, look a little dull. It's very heavy on the spring flowers or summer flowers. So now's a good time to see what looks interesting, to add some texture and movement maybe in your garden.
This really should be a good time then to pick out trees, I'm thinking, because you get to see them. If you went last week, you could see them green. If you go next week, you might see them a little more yellow.
Oh, for sure. It's a really good, you could pick out the exact tree you want, where you're like, I really like that orange fall color that maple has or that sweet gum has, and you know that's the one that you want.
So as a nursery at the Shooting Star, do you stay as busy in fall as you did in spring, for example?
Yes, and it's a little more concentrated, because spring can be busy, say, from February through May, even June, and fall is very concentrated, September, October. We've been extremely busy. People are definitely getting into fall planting mode. Landscapers are very busy right now, trying to, you know, cram as much as they can into before heavy winter rains come.
What are some of the don'ts then? We talked about some of the do's in the gardens. What are some of the real don'ts for fall gardening?
I don't know if there are as many don'ts. I think, like I said, just being careful maybe not to put in a plant that is a little on the edge of cold hardiness. Again, especially depending on where you live. Trying to think if there's any really extreme don'ts.
Your garden puts up with a lot of abuse in the fall.
It does. There's so much you can do. There's a lot more flexibility in the fall. Again, there's more room for error if you forgot to water, or, you know, again, the tree got a little bit stressed. The tree's going to sleep and losing its leaves and going dormant. So you're not in danger of, you know, ruining a sizable investment in your property.
Christy Mackison, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange with Shooting Star Nursery in Central Point. We're talking about fall gardening and getting things ready for the winter and things that you can grow and still make use of this year. Join us on the Exchange at 800-838-3760 if you have some questions, maybe some suggestions that you've learned over the years of gardening in the fall. You can also join us by email at jx@jeffnet.org. I noticed on some of the lists of things you can plant in the fall, and I don't know if it's necessarily true for here, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, peas. Things like that?
Yes, you can. I would say you still are looking for starts, so you want to get something that's already been started, you know, not start it from seed at this point. Brussels sprouts will definitely take a chill. Actually, frost can bring out sweeter flavor in the Brussels sprouts and the cabbages and the kale, so sometimes you want to wait to harvest until after we get a light frost. So ideally, you've had some of those things in the ground for a little bit, just to give them that much more of a head start. Or like I said, they'll sort of hang out all winter and then sort of come back to life in the spring and start growing again.
That's interesting. They'll taste sweeter if they took a frost. And so you're mm-hmm. actually almost wishing for things that might be bad for some of the other plants?
Sort of. And it kills off some of the bugs too. You know, you don't have some of the aphid and whitefly problems. You know, if you can get some of that cooler weather, that definitely shuts down some of the bad bug activity.
Mm-hmm. What kinds of things? Well, I haven't even asked about any level of organicness or what you think about use of chemicals in the garden, or if you prefer other methods to keep pests away.
I'm definitely a proponent of all organic, especially in the veggie gardens. I realize in the ornamental gardens, sometimes you may be forced to use a chemical solution, but I'm always wanting to try the organic solution first and foremost. And so in my veggie garden this year, I wanted to make sure to attract more beneficial insects. That's a good way to counteract, say, the bad bugs. And so I left a patch of my yard just up with grasses and, you know, weed plants, as you would say, like dandelion and Queen Anne's lace, because that attracts your beneficial bugs, gives a habitat for them to hide. And so ideally they're going to come over and visit your garden and help take care of some of the pest problems.
You want them to eat the other bugs,
which seems extreme, but I think it definitely helps. You're providing habitat and you're trying to create a balance. You don't want to eliminate every last bad bug there is, then there's no food for the good bugs. So chemical solution is all about taking everything out, and then you've created an imbalance in the garden.
So you're making an ecosystem in a sense.
For sure. And that's what's so amazing. You'll come out of the winter and see all the ladybugs sort of hibernating at the base of your garden. I notice them hiding in the grasses. Or I'll leave a lot of veggies up, you know, that have gone to seed, like my lettuces have gone to seed. And you leave some of that up over the winter and it gives them a hiding place. And then they're ready to go in the spring doing work for you.
Huh. So things that people might have considered sloppy gardening a few years ago are actually things that are helpful to keep the garden healthy.
I think for sure. You want to get rid of, you know, any diseased material, throw that away, don't put it in the compost. But I leave a lot up because, right, it's somewhere to hide. It helps sort of shield your soil from being totally washed away over the winter. You don't want to do a major, I guess that would be a don't for fall.
Okay.
Don't do an over cleaning of, you know, pruning everything back, cutting everything down. You want some of that top growth of ornamental grasses or perennials, provide seed for birds, habitat for bugs. You want a somewhat messier, unkempt garden because it can still be pretty in the winter and it provides habitat.
Grab your headphones. We have a call for you. Let's hear from Babs in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Christy Mackison from Shooting Star Nursery.
Thank you. I know our topic is seasonal planting, but I'm wondering if she has any suggestions for deer-resistant ground cover.
Excellent question, especially for a lot of people in the Rogue Valley when the deer just run through the streets.
Yes, for sure. We deal with that a lot. My question is it going in sun or shade?
Shade mostly, but it could be some sun.
Shade mostly, but it could be some sun, you say?
Yes.
Okay. And you want a pretty wide-spreading ground cover? One I would really recommend is called Rubus calcinoides, and that is called creeping bramble, the common name. It's in the raspberry family, actually, but it's a evergreen ground cover, and it has a hairy sort of coarse leaf, and so that's what's going to make it deer resistant. That's what you want to look for in deer resistant plants. And it's a really great evergreen ground cover. It can spread, you know, up to 5 to 6 feet wide, about 6 inches to 9 inches tall, and just sort of spreads and roots and is good for holding back, you know, a bank or just, again, for spreading and covering your ground. Good weed suppression.
Babs, thanks for the question. Good to hear from you. We can take other questions, too, in the couple minutes left. 800-838-3760 or jx@jeffnet.org. You mentioned pruning, which is a big question in our yard. When do you prune trees? What's the optimum time to do that?
It can sort of depend on the tree, but again, after something's gone dormant, after it's lost its leaves, that's sort of a nice time because you can see the form of the tree. You can see the frame that you're working with. And so, you know, after it's lost its leaves, say in October, November, even throughout winter can be a good time to prune because, again, you can see the shape and cut off any broken branches or anything that's crossing each other.
Okay, I was going to ask you what the basic tenets are then. So you want to make sure you get the broken stuff off, but also things where parts are stuck together?
Yeah, where branches maybe are crossing and rubbing against each other or all, you know, growing towards the middle of the tree. You want to sort of open it up a little bit, make sure you have good air circulation. You know, again, cut off any branches that are all growing towards the middle.
Okay, with an apple tree in particular, any suggestions there as I'm getting into my own yard now?
Yeah, no, ask personal questions. That's all right. So for fruit trees, yeah, you're going to have a little bit of a different pruning method for fruit trees. And you could prune fruit trees throughout the winter, fall, winter, spring. Fruit trees, you definitely want to create a more open form. You want very good air circulation, thinking about pruning for harvesting, for ease of harvest. So often you'll want to create a few main branches to the fruit tree, you know, maybe like four main branches going in all in the four different directions. And so often it can be about pruning it back hard because you want to create a lot of new fruiting wood. So it gets a little more specific from fruit tree to fruit tree. So apples want a little different pruning than, say, a cherry tree. So you can get into more detail for sure. We usually have a good fruit tree pruning class that we offer in February, because that's the time when you're getting bare root fruit trees in, and it can get a little more specific to each variety.
So you do offer classes at the nursery as well?
We do. Most Saturdays in the spring and fall we offer classes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it sounds like you've had a lot of these questions already this year.
It's a lot of common questions, but we're happy to answer, and that's why we always do a fruit tree pruning class. It's one of our most popular classes.
What about lawn care in the winter? Are there things you should or should not be doing in the fall?
I am not a super lawn expert. I actually got one of our customers, Baumgartner's Landscape, to come help me with our lawn. We weren't watering it enough, and we weren't fertilizing enough. So fall's a good time to ramp up, give it a good fertilizer, get it green again.
Okay, all kinds of good activities to be done with your outside stuff. The things you avoided in those days when it was so hot, because it was bad for the plants too, it turns out. Christy Mackison is with Shooting Star Nursery in Central Point. Thanks so much for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.